This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We're having fun today because it's Thanksgiving weekend. At least it's our weekend before Thanksgiving. So it's a time to celebrate, and I asked the team to do a little extra worship. We're going to go back in just a second, but I want to give you just a bit of a warm-up to what we're about to dive into this week with the holiday, the celebration of Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, it seems like, you know, have you noticed every year we tend to just sort of forget about Thanksgiving and we kind of start Christmas like in July. You know, you get the freak out factor by going into the stores and seeing the trees up in July. And it's like, well, you know, it's 120 degrees out and we're putting up Christmas trees. But we kind of short sheet Thanksgiving just a little bit. So today I want to focus on that, give us a little bit of a chance to kind of get out of the Black Friday mode for just a moment. And, you know, just society pushes this on us. And I love Christmas too. But the thing is, I think Christmas has become even something different than what it was originally intended to be. So today, before we dive into Christmas, I thought we should maybe soak up a little Thanksgiving just marinade today. How's that? It's a good turkey basting metaphor. I think that we want to dig down and look at the roots of what Thanksgiving's about today and the impact that we're supposed to experience. Really, before we go into the season of giving each other gifts, I want to connect today with Thanksgiving with that spirit of generosity, because that's kind of what, to me, Thanksgiving, you know, we think about what to be grateful for, and we set our tables with bounty feasts, right? And we have this abundance that we bring together, and we just eat all that we can eat, and then we eat some more. And, you know, there's just this amazing opportunity to recognize how blessed we are as a people. And that's what Thanksgiving is about, right? Gratitude. And I want to use another G word, generosity. You know, you think about how generous God has been to us, and it helps us kind of break out of this funk that, man, the world just kind of spins for us, and we get kind of lost in all the stuff, the periphery. So before we go down that train too far, I want to kind of back up the tracks and talk about Thanksgiving and generosity. And you know, if you think about how often in the Bible God mentions the word give or talks about giving, it's pretty amazing, really. Word study, you know, how many times in the Bible do certain words appear? The word believe, which is an important word in Christianity, right? You want to believe. 272 times in the scriptures, the word believe is mentioned. That's good. What about the word pray? Ooh, we're going to do sanctuary tonight. Prayer is a big deal, right? In the scriptures, 371 times the word pray is mentioned. So important, significant. How about the word love? Well, there's the big one, right? I mean, that's all over the place. And love blows away the first two. 714 times the word love is mentioned. But how many times would you guess the word give or giving is mentioned in the scriptures? Any guesses? 250 times, all right? Do I hear another bid? 252. How many? 900. Man of faith and vision there. All right, would you believe 2,152? 2,152 times. God mentions it. Yes, you were way off, Zach. God mentions give or giving way more than pray, believe, or love. Why? Because it's kind of a big deal. He knows our hearts better than we know them. And he mentions give. Why? Because God is a generous, giving God. And we're made in his image, right? And we're trying to be formed into the character of Jesus. So he's helping us learn the importance of being a generous soul. It combines with gratitude to me. Thanksgiving is all about recognizing how blessed I am, right? And because of that, a heart of thanksgiving is a generous heart. It's a giving heart. So I'm going to give you some tips today on how generosity affects our life. And we recognize that everything we have comes from God. When we know that, right? Everything. There's nothing you can name that didn't come from God as a gift of his. Put your hand on your chest this morning, right there. All right? Feel that amazing heartbeat going on there? Rhythm, just like Will Doyle and Chris Roden produced for us They're amazing percussionist gift. God's given you a gift of percussion right there in your chest, and it beats every minute, hopefully, of every day. We can appreciate the basics. You know, I said this morning, Bob, hey, I really appreciate it's a beating heart today. You know, when you've had difficulties, you know that this is a gift. Feel the respirations, your chest rising and falling. You can breathe in, breathe out. It's a gift. You woke up this morning, right? You got up out of bed. You got a mind. It isn't on yet, but it's there, right? We're going to work on that. We're going to get it plugged in today. The sunshine, the ability to have life and people that you love in your life. And those are all gifts from God. To recognize it all comes from Him helps us realize that we, in turn, want to be equally generous as our Father in heaven is generous with us. So let me give you about, I don't know, a dozen or so pointers. You can write these down in your worship guide. There's a little note sheet. You might want to pull that out. Take a couple of notes this morning. Point number one, generosity honors God. Generosity honors God. Being generous is an act of worship, just like our singing is an act of worship. Generosity is a recognition, an act of worship that everything we have is a gift from God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13 says, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And Proverbs 14 says, whoever is generous to the needy honors God. That's why that's a big part of what we do at Restoration. We want to be generous. We want to give to those who are in need. That's the mark of an obedient heart, the mark of a generous heart, one that honors God. Point two, generosity draws me closer to God. Here's the truth. Whatever I invest in, whatever I give myself to, I'm going to automatically draw closer to that. If I want to be a better golfer, I'm going to invest in that, you know, the equipment and the lessons and the green fees and all the stuff so that I can be a better golfer. I'm going to draw close to my hobby of golfing the more I invest in it. And the same with our relationship with God. The more we invest, the more we pour into something, the closer we're going to become to that. It says in Deuteronomy 14, the purpose of tithing, which is the practice that we, you know, prescribe here at Restoration, tithing meaning giving to God, is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Think about it. What is tithing? It's the first 10% of the first income at the first of the week. Think about it that way. Three firsts, illustrating the fact that we tithe, we give to put God first, showing God He has first place in our life. It's an act of worship. It's a way that we honor God in our giving. It says in Matthew 6, Jesus knew where your heart will be, wherever your treasure is. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. If you want to know where your heart is, just you kind of look and see your spending habits, what goes out. What are you investing in? Not just your money, but your time, your affections. What do you give priority to? What matters to you? What values? What do you possess? I mean, we had a chance to celebrate Krista's birthday this weekend, and it's not a big secret. She's turning the big 5-0, and that's a big deal. And we invested in her, you know, just to show her how much we love her and care about her. Those beautiful flowers out there on the table, those were a gift to show her that she's loved. It's what we do when we love something that we want to show honor and worth to, we invest in, okay? Point number three, generosity then makes me more like Jesus. Because Jesus was the most generous person who ever lived. You agree with that statement? The most generous person who ever lived, I would say, was Jesus. Why? Because how much did Jesus give? Everything. He gave it all. How did He give His all? Where was His gift most evident?
On the cross.
On the cross, man. Stretched out His arms, let sinful people nail Him there, and in the process said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. He bled out His generosity, His gift of love. Man, if that doesn't make us realize how much God values us, and therefore how much we should value others. Jesus' demonstration of the gift of generosity. Jesus gave all, and what does He ask of us in return? 10%. When you think about it that way, it seems pretty ridiculous, right? It's like the little boy who His dad took him through the drive-thru McDonald's and got him a French fry. On the way home, the car filled with that amazing aroma. We should say waffle fries from Chick-fil-A in honor of Chris. Okay, waffle fries, much better. You waffle fries from Chick-fil-A, and it's like, oh my gosh, that smells so good. And so dad just kind of reaches over and grabs one. And the kid's like, those are my fries. My fries. And dad's like thinking, I bought you those stinking fries. I can have as many as I want, right? In fact, I'll just take the whole thing away and say no more fries till after supper. How about that? Because if I had wanted fries, I would have bought myself fries. But I bought them for you. All I'm asking is for one. You get to keep all the rest of them. Isn't that a great picture of God's giving to us? And then we talk about giving back to him. We get all attitudinal. My fries. My waffle fries. God doesn't need your waffle fries. He has all the resources in the universe. He could get his own. But don't you love it when your kids are generous and share and are appreciative when they've been given something? Say amen, parents. Come on now. I'm preaching now. It's like that's something that blesses us. And it blesses the heart of God too. We become more like Jesus when we're generous. It says in Proverbs 21, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. The godly love to give. Interesting, you know, I've taught the lessons on purity pretty much all my ministry career, you know. Taught about, in the rites of passage, about men and women, godly manhood, godly womanhood, how a godly man acts, how a godly woman behaves, you know, what you look at, what you touch, how you allow yourselves to be touched. It's all usually in regards of sexuality and morality. But it says in Luke 11, 41, purity is best demonstrated. Purity is best demonstrated by generosity. Isn't that interesting? Never saw the connection before. Between generosity and purity. Well, how does that work? Because out of a pure heart, the godly love to give. So if you don't love to give, if you don't celebrate and recognize what an opportunity this is to honor the God who gave so much to me, then I need to kind of go back and check my heart. What's going on? What in my heart is not right? If that's not my character, if I'm not acting like Jesus. Number four, generosity is the cure for materialism. Boy, what a great message to preach just before we head into Black Friday, right? My goodness. My mailbox is stuffed with flyers and ads are everywhere and all kinds of tauntings and temptings to get me to spend my money. Unfortunately, Christmas has become about materialism. Starting next week, we're going to do a series called Vintage Christmas, which I'm super excited about as we kind of look at what Christmas is really all about. But in our society, it's all about materialism. It's got a grip on us. We need to break. Matthew 6, 24, Jesus said something pretty strong here. You cannot, say cannot.
Cannot.
Mm-hmm. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot. He didn't say you should not. It's not a good idea. He said what? You cannot. It's impossible. You can't serve both. You're going to have to choose. The great philosopher, right? Bob Dylan. Gonna have to serve somebody. I think that's pretty good Dylan right there. I could do a... No? Kaylee disagrees. He said it well, though. You're gonna have to choose. You cannot serve both God and money. You're gonna serve the almighty God or the almighty dollar, right? In the pursuit of drawing closer to one of those two, you can't draw close to both at the same time. You have to make a choice. Materialism is all about getting, about acquiring. You say, well, at Christmas time, I'm giving. Yeah, right. You know, we know what that's about. We look for all the cool stuff our kids have to have. That's different. You get me? Are you following with me here? That's different than the kind of giving we're talking about today. The antidote to materialism is generosity. That's the antidote. It's the opposite. It's what breaks us out of that crazy rat race. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul commands those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. Why? For our enjoyment. It's not wrong to be rich. God doesn't take pleasure in poverty. He doesn't get kicks out of you being in need or want. It's not wrong to be rich. But Paul says, command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will take hold of the life that is true life. That's where life really resides, is in the generous heart. It's not wrong to have wealth, to get wealth. God gives abilities to do that. But it's what you do with that wealth that matters to God. Poor, by the way, if you say, well, I'm not rich, so I'm excused. How many of you came here in a car this morning? Everybody? Didn't hear any horses out there, so I think you're good. And if you had a horse, you're still rich. And how many of you are going back to a home after you leave here and having food? All right? So according to this world's measuring stick, you are ridiculously wealthy. So he's talking to us here today. And we're heading into this season of materialism where we worship at the altar of the mall, all right? And again, don't hear me saying it's wrong or evil to give gifts. I'm all about that. You know, I want you to be generous in all regards, but I'm talking specifically about today, giving to God. And your giving determines which God you serve. God of materialism, the God of the universe. That's the point. Number five, generosity demonstrates my faith. Love this. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Listen to this. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. We've talked about daring faith now for 3 months, right? Kind of was the point. To increase your faith. Why? So that you can get in on what God is showing us regarding our generosity, regarding the life that we live. If we want to obtain the blessings of God, we have to live according to godly principles. Giving proves what you really, really believe. Do you believe the truth of the scripture? Do you believe God is good? Do you believe he can meet your needs according to his riches and glory? If you spout all those scriptures all the time, but does your giving record match up with your mouth, you know? It's like, that's kind of where it all comes down to. Philemon 1:6, you are generous because of your faith. Why else would you give? Well, maybe out of manipulation, because Pastor Tim nags me to death. That's not what I want your motive to be. You also don't give to get. That's not it either. But when you give, you're demonstrating your faith. You're demonstrating your belief in what God has said. And stinginess, the opposite of generosity, is caused by unbelief, just as generosity is proof of your faith. When I don't believe God is good, when I'm afraid of what's going on in the world, and Wall Street is unstable, and what if, and I hold on to, and I grasp, and I tip God, you know, I'm just proving really what I truly believe, or what I don't believe. Malachi 3:10, you've heard it a gajillion times, and you're going to hear it a gajillion times more. I don't back off on preaching on this, because I wouldn't be a good shepherd. I wouldn't be a good discipler if I didn't instruct you in the whole Word of God. And this is huge. 2,721 times huge, right? Malachi 3:10, bring your whole tithe into my storehouse. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. That's the scripture that we base our giving on, the tithe, the tenth, giving the first portion of what comes to us to God on the first day of the week. I love that God says, test me in this. I just, you know, I can see the ornery grin on his face when he says it. Come on, test me. Your karate instructor, right? Said, come on, take me on, show me. I think the test really is on us, our faithfulness. It's like God's waiting to pour out these blessings that we can't contain. But the test is, will we be obedient? Will we be faithful? I mean, that's a test I want to pass, you know? That's what I want to be a part of, because, number six, generosity really reveals my character. I hate that. Don't you hate that? That generosity is like the litmus test of your character. You can say you believe one thing, you can spout it, but your giving might reveal a different story. Well, there's incongruency there between what you say and what you do. That's called a lack of integrity, right? When you say one thing and do another, that's character, that's integrity, that's what we're talking about here. God is looking for those who are trustworthy and will partner with him in his great plan. What's his great plan? Well, we pray it when we pray the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. That's God's plan. Jesus taught us to pray that. On earth as it is in heaven. God's like, I'm looking for people to partner with me here. Come on. Let's do this. Let's show the world what it really means to follow Jesus. That's not to be poor. That's to realize he's bigger than any issue, any challenge, any need. My agenda is his agenda. I'm on his game plan, not my own. See, God doesn't love you any more or less, depending on how much you give. But you just get to miss out on the partnership. I wish I had a better way to say it. It's like someone that says, I just can't afford to tithe. And, you know, I'll never discredit that statement or, you know, knock it down as though it's not a good thing to say. But the reality is you don't understand it then. If you say you can't afford, is there anything in your life that God's blessed you with? Then you can afford. You know, it's been amazing to me during this Greater Vision campaign. You know, last week we had Pastor Juan Carlos Duvalier. You know, I always have to be careful because I have Pastor Juan Antonio from the DR on my mind too. So he had a great message last week on faith and how to activate, how to move in that faith. And Kim taught Monday night in here to the ladies about labels and the kind of life we live. And I love what she said when it came time for the offering. She's like, listen, everybody here has something to give. Even if it's the button off your coat, give something to demonstrate you're participating with God in this plan. I thought that's a great way to put it. And then when we counted the offering, there was a cough drop in the offering. And I thought, perfect, awesome. Somebody, that's all they had to give was a cough drop. You know what? That blessed me, and it blessed heaven, because there's faith demonstrated. It's not the amount that you give. It's that you're participating in the plan. How do we qualify to be a partner with God? It says in Luke 16:11, if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? That's the test. That's the job description. You go and apply for that job. That's the test they give you, man. Are you trustworthy? What are you doing with what you have? Not someday when I have more, then I'll give. No, you won't, because you're not giving now. I'm not being harsh. I'm just bringing it home because I want you to really celebrate this Thanksgiving, realizing the gratitude. Not that we owe God, but we do. It's not that we owe something. It's a love acknowledgement. How generous has he been with me? A thankful heart will recognize that and not fuss when he says, come on, let's work together on this. Let's partner together. God is a giver. He wants to see that character formed in us so that we can be like our Father, that we can be a mirror of his generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. And today I want to be a grateful receiver. And I want that to transform my heart so I can be like my Father and be generous. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come back up for just a few minutes. And I felt like today, being Thanksgiving weekend, and kids, that's why you're here today, because we aren't going to do our typical, you know, sermonette here that we normally do. We're going to engage more interactive in worship. Here's what I feel like needs to happen today. You know, this morning in prayer, I felt like the Lord asked me a question to ask you. Are you ready? Ready for the question? The question is this. What are you expecting me to do? I hope that you come to God with that attitude. What are you expecting God to do? If you just come to church because it's what we do on Sunday mornings, there's not much expectancy there built into that. You know, it's my routine. We get up, we go to church, and then we do go on about our day. And I would say to you that God has much more in store for you than just attendance at a meeting once a week. He wants to do something in your life. And it begins with acknowledging how gracious, how generous he's been with me. I almost feel like today, if I could use the word, that I think God wants to heal our generosity today. You know, I think he wants to set something loose, something good. Maybe there's something in you that needs to be healed. Maybe you've been burned by being a generous person. And I just say, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that there are some preachers or some churches that use weird tactics and make claims that aren't biblical. I'm sorry about all that. But that's not going to stop me from telling you the blessing of being a generous person. That's how you can truly experience Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Number 7, about generosity, it brings God's blessing. See, we don't give to get, but that's the natural response. That's what happens. You can't stop the blessing of God when you are operating according to godly principles. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be blessed. That's the way it works. I don't like to give to get. That's not my motivation. It's like God's not my slot machine in the sky. Put it in a corner, pull the handle, boom. Right? That's not how it works. But it's a natural response because he's a generous God. He's a good, good father. Number 8, generosity increases my happiness. Generous people are happy people. Watch Christmas Carol. Mr. Scrooge wasn't very happy, was he? When he was an old stingy fart. But when he released generosity, when he realized what it was truly all about, joy was his. Jesus said, there is more happiness in giving than receiving. Number 9, generosity expands my influence. Grab a hold of this one too. Generosity expands my influence. I mean, this one gets me really excited because I want to have influence with the gospel in places where it isn't yet made an impact. That's why I loved sowing into the Dominican Republic the way we do. This past summer, we gave money we didn't have, honestly, to help produce a crusade there on the streets of San Cristobal that they'd never seen before. I wish every one of you could have been there to see it. You will be there. You will. You will be there someday. I will make certain of it. The money we invested that we could have used other places produced such an amazing, amazing opportunity for people to hear about the good, good Father that we have. Worth every peso. All right. Every one of them. Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Psalm 112. They will have influence and honor. See, God honors those who honor him. Number 10, generosity multiplies my resources. This is the way it works. Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I love it. That's the way the kingdom works. Number 11, generosity brings God's protection. Never saw this before like in this one. A generous man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. There's evil circumstances anywhere you want to look today. Not just in Paris, not just in Iraq, right here at home. Instead of fearing, what you do is you obey the word of God. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. Your generosity not only protects you, but it's a testimony to those around you. What is up with you? What stock are you invested in? Let me tell you about it, right? Number 12, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. I tell you, Jesus says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. See, in heaven, we're not going to have any use of money. But what will be rewarded is our faithfulness here on the earth. And to me, the treasure are the people. The people. There's a lot more people in St. Joseph that don't know he's a good, good father. And that's why we invest here and now. That's our treasure in heaven. And we've been working on this Making Waves campaign. It's a part of our greater vision that we began, 3-4 years ago. And last week, we gave you the opportunity to invest in phase 2. And honestly, I've been just blown away. It's remarkable. I feel like I just need to stand back and just let God do his thing, which is always the better plan. You know what I mean? That's always the better plan. We've seen things come in that we didn't expect. This Tuesday, several of the guys, macho men, went and picked up our cabinets that we got from Leibowitz Menswear. That's stuff that they could have sold easily for $50,000 or $60,000, but they donated it to us. To me, no accident that it came in this season. And we were trusting God for phase 2 and all the things that we needed. We could have done it without cabinets. I'll take them. They'll be a blessing. Wait till you see them. They're awesome. another thing that happened that, you know, I don't want to make a huge deal of, but it really touched me, was someone donated a wedding ring. That, you know, if you knew the story behind it, it's even more meaningful than just donating jewelry. It represents a heartache. They're now trusting God, letting go, releasing that. I'm just telling you, man, it blessed my socks off. You guys blessed us last week. Speaking of blessing, thank you all for your generous gift to Krista and I for Clergy Appreciation Month in October. And that's the heart of this congregation here, you generous people. Last week we were set a goal of raising $34,000 to help pay our contractors off, the bathrooms, the HVAC, the restrooms, and all that stuff. We want to get that done. Honor our commitments. Be people of integrity. Take care of those commitments. And then we wanted to begin to launch this 3-year plan to get us where we need to be, through that door, into a larger space so more people can come and enjoy what God is doing, hear of His good love for them. So let me give you some results. All right, last week in the big give, we saw $9,396 come in one offering. That was the single biggest offering of 2015. So that is super awesome. God is good. Amen. It's good. It's awesome. It's like, well, Pastor, it's not 34. No, it's not. But you know what? We're on our way. I'm believing. Will you believe with me that by the end of the year, it's going to be gone. It's going to be done. God said, what are you expecting? I'm expecting that to be gone. You can still give toward that, you know, between now and the end of the year. The project, 3-year commitments, we wanted to be able to not only get into that room, which involves HVAC and electrical and some reconfiguring of stairways and things for code issues, but also get this coffee shop open so we can have more connection with people through the week and expand our children's ministry spaces, and then also just, you know, to be able to continue on, you know, the city, satisfy what they have expected of us to do. And that's a $1.2 million project. It's a big need. God could drop that in our laps in a heartbeat. That is pocket change, right? We just thought, well, we know that if our people are behind this to the tune of at least $2,200 a month, we can move forward and then grow the church, and that just continues to multiply what we're able to do. So far, as of last week, $1,409 committed each month for the next 3 years. That's over $50,000. That's worth giving God thanks for as well. See, a heart of gratitude, that's what we want to make sure we're cultivating. Now again, there's still time. Those Make Way envelopes are still here today if you want to continue to give in that capacity. There's also a check mark right on your regular giving envelope in your worship guide that says Greater Vision. It's the same thing. Greater Vision, Make Waves, it's all one campaign. So you pray, you ask God how to respond to that. I was blessed last week when Kim was here, when she said everybody has something to give, and they dropped a cough drop in the offering, you know. I was like, that's faithfulness. That's demonstrating a heart of saying, I'm in, I'm participating, I'm a partner. So I just encourage you with that word today. Ushers, come on up. We're going to go ahead and give our tithes and offerings and gratitude to the Lord today. So good. Thank you all so much for your faithfulness. I believe we're in the middle of a miracle, and it's going to be fun to just stand back, get out of the way, let God do what He does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Today, Lord, it's a celebration. It's a time to say thank You, God, for what You have done. Lord, we don't take these gifts lightly. We don't take this investment lightly. That cough drop, Lord, that just to me spoke so much of it. Doesn't matter what you have to give. It just matters that you are faithful to give. Lord, I pray for revelation. Now that we've been healed in our generosity, now that we don't mistrust you, that we know you're a good father, that you'll meet our needs. God, we can enter the Thanksgiving season with true gratitude in our heart. Free, Lord, from pressure of what if and I don't know the future and all this. Lord, we just leave that at your feet today. Even with this offering, we're leaving it at your feet. We're trusting you, God. We're saying, so be it, Lord, as it is in heaven on earth. Let heaven come to earth. Let your will be done, God. Use us, God. We are willing participants in the process. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for calling us, for making us your family. Lord, we say there's lots of family members yet to come into the house, and that's why we anticipate what you're going to do in this coming year and the years ahead. Lord, we give because you're a good father. We give in faith, expecting you to do good things, and you're going to use us to accomplish your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.